And verse 17 of Romans 11. If some of the branches be broken off. Now this is to be understood of these branches, the Jewish people being left out of the gospel church. Now they rejected and crucified the Messiah. They rejected Christ. The scripture says he came unto his own, talking about the Jews, and they received him not. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And they nailed him to a cross. They rejected their Messiah. They said, let his blood be on us and our children. And then though the gospel was preached unto them first, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And Christ said, salvation is of the Jews. It was preached to them first, but they rejected the gospel. They despised it, they contradicted it, they blasphemed it. So it pleased God. And this is true, there's no question about it. We see evidence of it all about us. In every Jewish person that we meet, we see evidence of this judicial blindness. That God hath cut off the Jew. God hath blinded the Jews. It pleased God to take the gospel completely away from them. That's what he's saying here. They were broken off. They were cut off. They were broken off from the gospel church. Now read on. And thou, now this talking to the Gentiles, if they, the branches, were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, and that's what we were. If you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 2, we'll show you exactly what we were. When he talks about this natural tree, he's talking about the tree of Israel. He's talking about the fact that Abraham was called out, and God said he'd make of him a great nation, and through him nations of the world would be blessed. And to the Jew was given the prophets, to the Jew was given the law, to the Jew was given the ceremonies, to the Jew was given the apostles, to the Jew was given Christ, for Christ was a Jew. And that's the tree. It goes all the way back through the Jewish nation. Now, we're not a part of that tree. In Ephesians 2, verse 12, it says this. Verse 12 says, at that time, you, Gentiles, were without Christ. You were aliens. An alien is a foreigner. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. The Gentiles weren't even in that tree. And you were strangers from the covenant. The covenants of promise. And you had no hope, and you were without God in this world. Now that's the wild olive tree. Now read on. And if you, a wild olive tree, were grafted in among the Jews, among them, and with them made partaker of the root of the whole tree, of all the benefits and blessings from the whole system, from the whole covenant and fatness of the olive tree, all the nourishment, all the sap, all the life, as if you had been part of the tree all the time. Now listen to this. The Jews were the first believers. A remnant of them did believe, and they were the first fruits in the church. The apostles were Jews. The Gentiles were then received in among them. And the names Jews and Gentiles, those names were dropped and they became Christians, and we became partakers with them of the root and the fatness of the whole tree. The Gentiles and Jews became partakers of the same foundation of the apostles and prophets, and they enjoyed the same privileges, and they received the same promises as if they had been in that tree all the way back to Abraham. Now, verse 18, boast not thyself against these natural branches. There was a little friction between the Jews and the Gentiles. And Paul is saying to the Gentiles, the Jews have been cut off. They've been blinded. They've been judicially blinded. They've been cut off from the gospel church. But you be careful that you don't boast against them, nor despise them, or any unbeliever for that matter. You know, I constantly have to rebuke myself about this. Turn to 1 Corinthians 4. And you're probably guilty of the same thing. We are believers, and we love the gospel, and we love the Word of God, and we love the preaching of the Word. And sometimes we get a little bit impatient with people who don't love it like we do. Well, there was a time when we didn't love it. We get a little impatient with people that don't believe the doctrines as we believe them. There was one time when we didn't believe them. We get a little impatient sometimes with people when they don't see things exactly as we see them. There was a time when we were blind and didn't see them at all. And that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying, don't be careful that you don't boast against these that have been cut off and are now in blindness. There was a time when you were in blindness. You've been grafted in as a wild olive branch into a tree from which you didn't even spring or didn't even come. You're a visitor. You're a guest. Read 1 Corinthians 4:7. Who maketh thee to differ from another? Have you got a little knowledge? Well, who gave it to you? Have you got a little grace? Who gave it to you? Have you got a little insight into the kingdom of God, a little love for Christ? Who gave it to you? You have faith? Who gave you that gift of faith? Who made you to differ? What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Verse 7, 1 Corinthians 4. Now, if you received it, why do you glory as if you didn't receive it? And so in verse 18 of Romans 11, Paul says, don't be proud and boast against these Jews. If you boast, remember that you don't bear the root bears you. Pity the Jew. Pray for him. And thank God he didn't blind you and me and pass us by. Thank God for his grace who gave Christ to us. You know, actually, if anybody's got anything to boast about, it's not the Gentile. It's the Jew. The prophets were Jews. The fathers were Jews. The writers of Scripture were Jews. The ceremonies were continued by Jews when you and I were out worshiping four-footed beasts and idols of stone and wood. The Jews were in the tabernacle offering atonements to God Almighty. And if anybody's got anything to boast about, it's not the Gentile, it's the Jew. Jesus Christ was a Jew. And then verse 19, perhaps someone will say, well, they were broken off. They were cut off. They're under God's judgment that I might be grafted in. The Jew was cast aside that the Gentile might be grafted in, so we're to assume that we're more worthy than they are. They're being punished for crucifying Christ. We crucified Christ just as much as they did. And verse 20 tells you something. Listen, because of unbelief they were broken off. That's why they were broken off. The same sin that excluded their fathers from the land of Canaan was the sin that excluded them from the gospel church. The same sin. They could not enter in because of unbelief. And you stand by faith. And faith's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So be not high-minded, but fear. Faith is not of personal merit. Faith is not of personal merit or personal righteousness. It's a gift of God. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 10:11. I read this scripture in connection with that one there, 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now listen to this. Let me go back and read this verse again. It says in verse 20, because of unbelief, these Jews were cut off, blinded, broken off, and you were grafted in. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Now, all these things happened to them for examples or types, and they're written for our learning, our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Beware of an evil heart of unbelief. Because of unbelief they were broken off. And we stand not by personal merit, we stand by faith. And it was a failure of faith that cut them off. So we better not be so high-minded, but we're to walk in fear before God, lest we fail in the same area. Look at verse 20. For if God, and this is a verse that rings like that verse over in Hebrews that says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Listen, if God spared not the natural branches, the Jews who were his people all the way back, if he didn't spare them when it came to the question of unbelief, take heed lest he spare not you, a wild olive branch that wasn't even there to start with. And of that verse, John Gill wrote this. Now, I want you to listen to this. And I really think we're on the threshold of the fulfillment of that verse right there. He's saying, you Gentiles, it was unbelief that cut the Jew off. It was unbelief that broke him off from the tree. It was unbelief that blinded him. It was unbelief that plunged that nation, that religious nation, into darkness. It was unbelief that made their table a snare, that made their ceremonies a stumbling block. It was unbelief that sent them into the religion of just walking on a treadmill and marking time and ever learning and never coming to knowledge of truth. You better take heed. For if God spared not the natural branches, his own sons and daughters, by national covenant and distinction, take heed that he spare not thee. And John Gill said, God unchurched the Jew and stripped him of the privileges he enjoyed. The Jews were the natural descendants of Abraham. The Jews were in the national church state. The Jews were included in the covenant, the adoption. They were called the people of God. They were chosen of God for special privileges. They were Christ's own to whom he came. He came to them according to the flesh, and of them according to the flesh. He walked among them. He lived among them. They did not believe, and therefore they were cut off, and they fell under his wrath. Now take heed, lest he spare not thee. If the natural branches are cut off, shall not the wild ones also be cut off? Shall not the wild ones also be cut off? Verse 22, behold therefore the goodness and severity of God. Paul is saying the consideration of the grace of God to some and God's justice to others. That's the goodness of God and the severity of God. The grace of God and the wrath of God. And to consider God's goodness and God's severity is recommended as a prevention against pride, against haughtiness of spirit, against vainglory. Read on. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them that fail, on the Jew, on those who were cut off because of unbelief, severity. The Jewish people today are standing monuments of God's severity. For 1900 years, scattered all over this world, blinded, without a nation, without a home, unbelievers, without a gospel, they are standing monuments of God's severity and God's justice. And they ought to excite in us the fear of God and encourage us to faith. And then he says, behold God's severity on those that fail, and toward you, you Gentiles, goodness. That's what we're talking about, Jews and Gentiles now. And toward you Gentiles, goodness. If you continue in his goodness. Now, here's what he's saying. God has given us his grace. And God has given us his gospel. And God has made us a part of his gospel church. We must continue in the means of grace. We must walk in faith. We must continue in the ministration of the word of God and the ordinances of God in faith, or else be cut off. Now, this has been fulfilled right here in Africa. Did you know that several hundred years ago, some of the strongest gospel churches in the world were in North Africa? Did you know this has been also fulfilled in Europe, countries like Switzerland? Switzerland was a revival camp meeting during the days of Calvin and his friends. France, did you know France at one time produced the greatest preachers in the world? This was true of Scotland. This was true of England. And those countries now, I've traveled to those countries. I've tried to preach in churches in those countries. And they're dead, cold, modern, liberal. In some of those churches, in one where the great Joseph Irons preached, it seats almost 1,000. I preached to 90 people. Dead, cold, lifeless. And it's that way all over England. It's that way all over France. There's only one Baptist church in the city of Marseille, France, 1 million people. I don't know of any in Paris, several million people. And that's the country that produced great preachers and great churches. And it's that way all over Europe. And it's going to happen right here. Because our emphasis has ceased to be Christ and the gospel. And it's become something else. We're not continuing in grace. We're not continuing in the gospel. We're not continuing in the glory of God. We're not continuing to be faithful to the truth of His Word. We are not. There are people right here in the city of Ashland who listen to our broadcast who tell me that on Sunday they get nothing whatsoever from their pulpit. Nothing. My daughter's been in Lexington going to school now for several months. She's a junior in college down there. She's been looking in Lexington for a place to go and hear the gospel. She drives almost 25 miles to get to a church where the gospel's preached in Lexington, Kentucky. I said, well, honey, go on Sunday morning and listen to the Bible read. She said, I don't read it. I said, well, you can go and open the hymn book and you can listen to the words of the hymn. She said, they don't sing hymns. They sing other things. They don't glorify Christ. It's just not there. And he says here, if you continue in His grace, if you continue in His Word, if you don't, you'll be cut off. And that's what's going to happen. Same thing that happened in Africa and in Asia and in Europe and in Great Britain. The same thing's going to happen right here, and it may happen in your lifetime, when the Gentiles are going to be cut off. Verse 23. And they, and here's what we're looking for now, and don't be surprised if we're not on the threshold of the fulfillment of this prophecy right here. And they also, here's the possibility of it, and they also, the Jews, if they abide not still in unbelief, they'll be grafted in. They'll be grafted in. The Jew, he's saying, might be recovered. The Jew might yet be brought into the church state. We believe they will. I do. I don't believe the Jews going back to the old doctrines, the old sacrifices, the old types. I believe they're going to come into Christ by faith. They're going to be grafted in. Here's the possibility of it. God's able. That's what he says here in this verse. God's able to graft them in. God's able. God can remove their unbelief tomorrow. God can lift the scales from their eyes tomorrow. God can unstop their deaf ears tomorrow. God can make those prophecies jump out before those Jewish eyes tomorrow. He can bring them in. Verse 24. For if you were cut out of the wild olive tree, the olive tree which is wild by nature, and you were grafted in contrary to nature into the good olive tree, how much easier, huh? How much more shall these which be the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? You say, God can't open the eye of the Jew. He opened your eyes. And you were a wild branch.
And Paul is saying it'll be a lot easier for God to open the eye of the religious Jew who has the foundation, who has the background, who has the heritage, than it would be for him to open your eyes. If God, here's what he's saying. If God brought the wild savage, idol worshiping, ignorant Gentile to faith, how much more shall these Jews who have a history of faith in the one living God, who have a history of worship to the one living God, how much easier it'd be to graft them into their own tree. That's what he's saying there. Now then, verse 25. Back there in verse 23, you heard me keep talking about the possibility of their being grafted back in. Well, verse 25 gives you the dead certainty of it. Paul's been talking about the possibility. What he's saying, he's just warning the Gentile. He knows that the time of the Gentile wasn't up in his day. That was when the Gentile churches were flourishing in Africa and Asia and around the Holy Land and those places. They were flourishing. And Paul is talking about warning them, be not high-minded, but faith. It was unbelief that cast off the Jew, and the same thing can happen to the Gentile. And he says it would be a whole lot easier for God to graft the natural branches in than it is for him to pick up wild olive, wild branches like you and graft them in. Now watch it. Brethren, and I want us to watch these next two verses. They're the key to the whole study tonight. I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. Paul calls for our attention, the Gentiles in the church, and he tells us he wants to acquaint us with a mystery. A secret thing, a hidden thing, at least not understood, as he's about to reveal it. He's just about to reveal it. He says, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant, lest you be wise in your own conceits, lest you be puffed up, and lest you look with contempt on the Jew. You say, brethren, we don't look with contempt on the Jew. You don't at 13th Street, but I've been a lot of places where they do. A lot of places where they do. And he says, you watch it now and be careful. You don't be puffed up as if to think that these Jews are going to remain in a state of darkness. They're not. Don't you think they're going to remain in unbelief? They're not. Well, for he says, blindness in part. And I don't have my amplified version up here, but Eddie, you got one in your lap back in the back? Doesn't it say temporary? I don't have, but I think the word is temporary. Blindness in part. Or temporarily has happened to Israel until what? Until the fullness of the Gentile be come in. Now here's what he's saying. The blindness of Israel is their unbelief. The blindness of Israel is their darkness with respect to Christ. With respect to God as he's revealed in Christ. They know not Christ. They believe not Christ. They know not the nature and use of their own law. They know not the scriptural promises concerning the Messiah. They can't understand them. They can't understand Isaiah 53 that's so simple for us. They knew not Christ when he came. But he says, this blindness is temporary. And it'll last until the last elect Gentile is saved. That's what he's saying. Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And then, as soon as the whole number of the Gentile church is complete, the veil is going to be taken from Israel. And that's going to wind it up with the Gentiles. And the Gentiles and the Jews are going to turn to Christ. That's what he's saying. Now let's read that verse again. Brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant of the mystery, lest you be puffed up in your own pride and vainglory. Blindness, judicial blindness, in part or temporary, has happened to Israel until a day dawn, and that day will be the fullness of the Gentile. That's when the Gentile church will be complete. God's already wound it up in Africa, Asia, Europe, and it's going to be wound up here. And when that's all completed, Verse 26, all Israel shall be saved. Now, brethren, I love Dr. Fletcher. He's a precious man. But he preached on this verse about 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years ago. All Israel shall be saved. And he made it spiritual Israel, consisting of the church, the Jew and the Gentile. But this verse is talking about nobody but Jews. That's exactly what this is talking about. When the fullness of the Gentile be come in, then Israel's going to be saved. And it relates to the latter day when a nation shall be born at once. It relates to that day when they'll come out of the lands where they are dispersed, where they shall turn to Christ, where they shall seek the Lord God, where they shall acknowledge the Christ, their Messiah, the Lord Jesus, and they shall believe on Him, and they shall be saved. Not sacrificing animals in a tabernacle on the spot of the dome of the rock, but believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that may spur a little revival among the Gentiles. I don't know, but I kind of suspect the Gentile day is going to be over. And God's going to, for He gives a prophecy here in verse 26 from Isaiah 59. He says, there shall come out of Zion. Now watch this. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. This prophecy is taken from Isaiah 59. Now the Redeemer has already come. And Paul knew that his mighty work of redeeming sinners was already done. But the way Paul uses it here is a future work for the Jew. Christ has already died and sin's already put away, but Paul is using this as a prophecy. For he says, that day, in that latter day, a nation shall be born at once, because it's written, there shall come out of Zion and to Zion the deliverer, the redeemer. That scripture over in Isaiah 59 uses the word redeemer. And he shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And this is what he means by that. This is what he promised. For verse 27, this is the covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sin. Now, hasn't Christ already taken away the sins of the elect? Yes. He has taken away our sins by Christ's sacrifice. But here he's talking about removing their sins from their own consciences, which the sacrifices couldn't do. He's talking about a revelation of Christ to them as their Savior and the removal of their unbelief. And then they're going to enter into His rest. And that's when He'll take away their sin. Israel's sins are still on them. Even elect Israel have no relief from their conscience and from grief and from remorse and from despair. But in that day when their eyes are open and they shall look upon Him whom they have pierced, and they're going to rejoice in Christ. That is going to be a day. Verse 28, he says, as concerning the gospel, from the point of view of the gospel, they, or the Jews, are enemies. They're enemies of God, it looks like, from the point of view of the gospel. And that's to your advantage. He says in verse 28, for your sakes, that is, this is for your advantage and benefit, for when they were cut off, we were grafted in. But now watch this next line. It looks like concerning the gospel, they're enemies from the point of view, but as touching the election, from the point of view of God's covenant of mercy, for the Father's sake, made to Abraham, these promises, they are beloved. From the point of view of God's election, they're still dear to Him. The Jewish people are still dear to Him. And for the sake of their forefathers, when God restores them again, He's going to show His love for them. Turn to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. I want you to turn all of it to Ezekiel 36 and watch something here. Ezekiel 36, verse 24. Now then, Go back to, just hold Ezekiel 36, right over there. Go back to Romans 11. Now, verse 28, Paul says, from the point of view of the gospel, it looks like the Jew is an enemy and always will be. But from the point of view of the election, God's choice back in eternity, they are beloved for the Father's sake. Now look at verse 29. For God's gifts and God's calling are without repentance, without change. Whatever God promises, He's going to accomplish. God's promises are never withdrawn after they're given, right? God does not change His mind. And the promise given to Abraham and the promise given to David of His throne lasting forever, and the promises made to Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, these promises are made concerning Israel. And here's one of them over in Ezekiel 33, verse 24. God says, I'll take you from among the heathen. I'll gather you out of all countries. I'll bring you into your own land. And then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. That hadn't happened yet. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you, and I'll cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them, and you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I'll be your God. That hadn't happened yet. And I could read you dozens of scriptures like that. This shall be your land forever, God said. He shall sit upon the throne of his father David. And of his throne and kingdom there shall be no end. Yes, sir, we are living in interesting days. I'm not making any predictions. I'm not marking any calendars. I'm not setting any dates. But I'm simply saying that what Paul is declaring here is that the time of the Gentile is running out. And when that time runs out and the fullness of the Gentile comes in, God's going to open Israel's eyes. And God's going to send a deliverer out of Zion to turn away Israel from their sins. For he said, that's my covenant. That's my covenant when I shall take away their sin. As touching the gospel, they're enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they're not enemies. They're God's beloved. God's beloved. For the gifts and calling of God are without change. God never changes his mind. 1900 years have come and gone, but the promise is still made to Israel. Look, verse 30. For as you in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy. You did, didn't you? The Gentiles, how many thousands of years were we in darkness? We didn't believe God, and yet the Gentiles have obtained mercy. Look at the next verse. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they may or also may obtain mercy. Here's what he's saying. Just as the Gentiles were once disobedient, rebellious toward God, but they've obtained mercy through the unbelief of the Jew, for their unbelief was not the cause of our obtaining mercy, but when they did not believe and they rejected the gospel, it was given to us. They were cut off and we were grafted in. Even so, they also now are disobedient. They also now are unbelieving. But one day, through the same mercy that you and I now enjoy, they're going to be brought to Christ. Paul insinuates here that the Jews are going to be provoked to reconsider the gospel because of the blessings of God upon the Gentiles through Christ. Verse 32, for God hath concluded them all in unbelief, Jew and Gentile, all men in unbelief. They're all in unbelief. They're all in the same boat. They're all in the same prison house. They're all in unbelief, that he may show mercy to both Jew and Gentile, that he may have mercy upon all, that he may display the riches of his grace to all of us. Verse 33, oh, the depths of the riches And I wish we could see the depths of this mystery and the Word of God. It seems like that people become masters of the Bible so quickly, so easily, and it's the most difficult book in the world to master. It can't be mastered. It's the Word of God. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments. Why did God cut off the Jew? He could have opened their eyes 100 years ago, 1900 years ago, but it didn't please Him. Why did God break off the natural branches and graft in the wild olive branches? I don't know. Why did God permit nations like Africa and Asia and Europe to fall by the wayside? These gospel churches that used to be powerhouses for the glory of God are now nothing. Why does God permit it? I don't know. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? You? I don't. Who hath been His counselor? Did He call you into the boardroom and ask your opinion about how this ought to be done? But of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. That's the essence of it. That's the summary of it. I tell you how to test preaching. I tell you how to determine whether or not preaching is real preaching. You put it to this test. If it glorifies God and abases man, it's real preaching. If it dignifies the flesh and abases God, it's not of the Lord. Don't pay attention to it. Just the most unlearned believer can take that test with him. Everything Paul says here glorifies God. It doesn't glorify the flesh. It doesn't dignify the flesh. It doesn't exalt the flesh. It glorifies God. Oh, when it comes to the conclusion of this whole matter, we accept it by faith. I don't understand it. We accept it by faith, and we say, oh, the depths of the riches, of the wisdom, and the power of God, how unsearchable are His judgments, His ways past finding out. But this I know, the conclusion of the whole matter, of Him, through Him, and to Him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Brother Payne, you lead us in our prayer, please.